Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins, and today I'm joined by Jasmine, who understands the transformative power of forging an identity based on the call of your heart. And we welcome you to pour yourself a glass and join the conversation. Hi, Jasmine. How's it going?
Hi, Jay. What an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I look forward to our conversation.
I am so excited for our conversation as well. But before we get going, Jasmine, there's an important question I have to ask you. What's in your glass?
This is homemade kombucha. It is beet, turmeric, and ginger, I believe.
Oh my gosh, those ingredients sound amazing. I'm sure it tastes so amazing yummy. As well.
It does. Just don't spill it anywhere because it stains like crazy.
Duly noted. Duly noted. Jasmine, do you happen to have a cheers today?
Do. I want to cheers to the absolute magic, mystery, and awe of the human journey and how it's so divinely perfect that, and cheers to the intelligence, the creative presence and grace that is behind the journey. It's just beyond the imagination. I couldn't be more joyful.
Oh, I love that. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
So we're going to talk a bit about identity today. And I want to kind of bring up what comes to mind for me first. I found that most people have an I am who I am kind of approach to their identity. And they don't really question how their identity is actually formed. Can you help us understand how identity is often shaped for most people?
Yes, and it's so true. I've been there attached to the identity. Our identity is mostly formed by the imprinting of messages. Let's start with your immediate family, the beliefs, the rules. And then we go to school and there's a whole nother layer of societal rules. And as we observe, we start noticing, well, this seems to work and that doesn't. And we start layering ourselves with what we think we should be. And it just gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And then we start believing that is who we are. It's the story we tell ourselves.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. That story that we tell ourselves is based upon so much of what's imprinted on us versus what we've built ourselves. So I'm curious, was your own identity shaped that way? And if it was, how did you actually break free of that limited scope of identity?
Not easily. And it defined me for the greater part of my life. So yes, I was born into a family that had very black and white rules of this is right and that is wrong. Mm-hmm. It came with shame and judgment if you did not follow the right path as others deemed it to be. Mm-hmm. And yet, deep within, as a little girl, it must have been my soul talking to me. I was like, oh, it doesn't feel right. But over time, I started recognizing this is almost how you have to play the game. Because the powers that be, my mother, would try to silence that spirit in me that wanted to emerge. So to answer the question of how did I shift, I like to refer to things as spiritual breadcrumbs. So I think there were spiritual breadcrumbs sprinkled throughout my life that I would go, oh, that resonates. But at the time, I didn't have the awareness or perhaps courage to delve deeper along that path. But they just kept following me. And then I'll say, if we don't align with what is intended for our unique soul, does not mean there is one right path for everyone. It's our unique path. To me, it's like the pressure builds and the pressure builds and the pressure builds till eventually there's going to be some event that is going to serve to awaken us perhaps to a different reality. So for me, there were several big events that served to sort of shake my world. And in the last event was basically, it felt like a fight for my life. The ember of my soul was dying. I was depressed. I felt like an imposter. And then finally, this wave of energy came over me and I realized this is do or die. I either die, whether that was metaphoric or not, or it's like, girl, pivot and start realigning your life with what's true for me, not anybody else.
That realignment, it cannot have been easy. So with this catalyst kind of event, were you aware that it was that kind of event in the moment, or did it take reflection to realize it?
Well, if I may, I'll share two events that really did this. The first was the passing of my son, my teenage son 15 years ago. I'd suddenly in a car accident. Yes, that rocks your world. That shakes your entire reality. I feel like it was a staged awakening. So what that did is it opened my mind to understanding consciousness in a whole different way. I used to think, oh, it's all in the brain. But this opened me to experiences where I was experiencing my son in ways that one may call paranormal, but they just were magical. So I started re-looking at my beliefs around consciousness. So that was one. But then the pain of that experience was just so debilitating that in order to survive, I shut my heart down. It hurt too much. And I went back to work and decided that was where I was comfortable. That's how I knew how to move forward in life. And so I threw myself back into corporate ambition. And it did help me just function, but I was dead inside. I closed down. So now, 10 years after my son dies, COVID is happening. And I feel the earth starting to rumble again. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening. Maybe this is common for other people, but it really, there was something shaking in me in a big way. I started feeling that I was an imposter.
Oh.
I thought it meant in my work. But if you looked from the outside, I was successful. It was all going great. What I now know in hindsight is I was living an imposter life. So I started recognizing around that time, something has to change, something has to change. And that's when I finally answered the call of the heart. That was the do or die moment. There's a lot more craziness with it, but it was a do or die moment of energy that's like, I have to say yes to this call at whatever the cost.
So you were listening to the call of your heart. So if I'm gathering correctly, there were these moments that were like spiritual breadcrumbs that led you to this call. So this call sounds like that it's impossible to ignore when it comes. So when it does come, can you explain what is that true power of listening to your heart's call?
Well, the way I'll try to articulate it is, first of all, everything's energy. I've come to understand that. We are not separate from anything, and we are energy. And we are nature, just like the plants and the animals, anything else. And nature wants to evolve. And yet I'd kind of created this cocoon of, oh, I feel safe here. This feels good. Yet the nature that I am was wanting more and wanting me to answer that call of the heart. And so the power of that, to answer, is that when we pivot and align with the heart's calling, mm-hmm. with that not from an egoic standpoint, but truly what is that peaceful knowing of change that is aligned with your soul, is it's like tacking a boat and changing position to where the wind now is in your sails, as opposed to fighting the wind.
I can definitely see how it can feel like fighting the wind when your identity has for so long been based around what other people have built for you. And you said earlier that, you know, you grew up in a black and white kind of life with your family and there's really no gray. But the gray is where the joy is sometimes. It's where the power is. And so I know my heart calls into the gray areas sometimes because life is so much more than black and white.
I just want to comment on that. Absolutely. Because now I see that anyone and that believes they know what is absolutely right could could not be farther from the truth. The truth for me always lies somewhere in between. And by the way, there is no right. I cannot ever say what's right for anyone else. I only know what's right for me. And so I love that. It's that middle way of, it's that in between that I'm constantly seeking for the balance. Yeah.
I love that balance aspect of it and honoring the fact that your truth is your truth. What's right for you is right for you. And everyone's on their own journey. So you have these experiences, right? And they kind of shifted who you perceive yourself to be and your identity. What was the cost of shifting your identity that way?
Enormous. However, it could have been enormous for me because I avoided it for so long. I didn't pivot and align. So to me, back to the pressure thing, the longer and longer you delay it, I think the pressure just builds more and more. So the cost for me and how I navigated it was literally I looked at what depletes my energy and what nourishes me. And if something depleted me, I was so exhausted at that point from going into the wind. I mean, that's exhausting. I think sometimes we think that's what life is supposed to be like. Well, the way I tacked and turned was, does it feel like it's nourishing me effortlessly or is it depleting me? And so, Jay, I gave up a job at the top of my career. I just said, done. I gave up a 10-year relationship that, by the way, with a loving person that would have stayed with me for life. But I had always known that this wasn't right, but I have to admit, I was too weak and wounded from the death of my son. I needed safety where I could just be, but I knew it wasn't right. And so with a heavy heart, I said goodbye to that relationship. And then, crazy, I gave away all my belongings too.
Oh.
I kept a tiny little container of things, kitchen items, bedding I knew I'd need as I traveled. And it costs you relationships. It costs you friends. It doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. Those that stay with you are staying out of unconditional love and respect and honor to walk alongside you as you find your truth. Those that try to change your mind, rationalize this isn't right for you. What's the phrase I've heard? Rejection is protection. You have to let them go, right? And there's a grieving process with all that. There's a lot to be done in grieving that, what could have been, but it cost a lot.
So somebody's probably listening, Jasmine, and they're thinking to themselves, she paid a really high cost. Is there an actual reward for following your heart's call and shifting your identity?
Totally. Great question. Yes. I have experienced a lot of trauma in my life, a lot of trauma in my life. Beyond the death of my son, I could list it out. And there was a part of me, not a part of me, there was the identity that I associated with for most of my life that was that of a victim. The world is to survive. The world is difficult and I've got to be in survival mode. And things happened to me, not for me. But as I pivoted and shifted and challenged myself to be open-minded and back to the gray area, right? Look at things not black and white. Where am I holding on to black and white? And can I see this with a different perspective? I started realizing everything's happening for me to help my soul, to help me evolve and become a stronger is really not the word, but you do. You become more resilient. And so, Jay, after all I've experienced and all that I've sacrificed, so to speak, I could never have imagined how joyful and happy and at peace I am. And that goes back to my toast in the beginning, is this journey of being human is so perfect, so absolutely geniusly designed to evolve our nature. So on the other side of it, I guess for me, the number one thing for anyone listening is, you know, the old me lived in angst and lived in struggle and lived in trying to control everything. And the new me, another metaphor I like to use is the river. So I'm inner tubing on the river. The old me was like trying to paddle against the current. And once I pivoted and surrendered and aligned with where the current wanted to take me, I could never have imagined the experiences that I've had and the joy. And to be honest, I don't know where it's going. The old me had to know where we headed. Now the new me is embracing the mystery and magic and awe of like, yay, where is this going? I have no idea, but it's fun. So there's hope. There's really hope.
Hearing about the hope and the joy, it makes me feel verklempt because, you know, I'm just thinking about the fact there's so many of us out here that experience something and we go, why is life doing this to me? Why is the universe doing this to me? Why is God doing this to me? Just so many of us think this is happening to me versus this is happening for me. This is an opportunity for me to grow or to find joy in a different way. And so that shift of perspective, it's brilliant. So I guess, how do people take that first step to a new perspective or a new identity?
First thing I'll say is do it in micro adjustments. You don't have to do it as radically as I did it. We betray ourselves. We betray ourselves so frequently throughout the day, whether we say yes to going out with a friend that we'd rather not go out with, whether someone asks us to do something and we don't want to, but we say we will, whether we feed this body some crap that it's not going to help it grow. I mean, we betray ourselves all the time. So how I like to think of it is make micro adjustments. Just I ask myself every day, what's one tiny micro adjustment I can make? If I'm resisting going to the gym, is it really better for me? And by the way, I don't have to do a major workout. If I go and do 5 minutes, it's better than not. We have to have a lot of compassion for ourselves. That it is, it's a challenging journey, but we just do the best you can every day and don't ever compare yourself to anyone else.
Oh, yes.
Comparison is the source of suffering. So as we are saying, let's use the gym metaphor, the gym analogy of going to the gym, don't sit there and say, well, I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to, what do you feel capable of doing that's a little bit better than yesterday? Just take tiny incremental steps and you'll find that by doing so is really signaling to the universe, okay, I'm on the journey, and it will gain momentum. The more you do it, it just gains momentum.
Jasmine, that sounds absolutely doable. And like people can actually accomplish this and they can start following those, as you say, spiritual breadcrumbs and listening out for their heart's call. And you just put it in such a manageable way. But I am curious, though, people are going to start taking these steps and they're going to start shifting their life, right? I hope they do, because it sounds like there's so much joy on the other side of this. But what is the one warning you would give to someone listening and feeling encouraged to deconstruct their current identity and step into something new?
Don't listen to anyone else, because as you start to shift, your change is going to disrupt the norm, the comfort zone of everyone else. Mm-hmm. And they don't want that. Survival is, wait, no, that's not right for you. And they're not even conscious of it. I don't think people do this maliciously. It's unconscious. They try to talk you out of it, not realizing that it's themselves they're protecting, not you. So honestly, you really can't listen to anyone else. If you can find that spot, even take a minute each day to ask yourself, what is true for me today that I need to do? And then radically honor that without telegraphing it to other people. Because as soon as you put it out there, naysayers are going to be coming. So, it's you really have to tune out the world. Kind of sounds like that 70 phrase, tune out and tune in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tune out, tune in, focus on your journey. If what that looks like healing, if that wherever that looks like for you, the call of your heart, you got to just focus in on that and just tune out the world. That makes absolute sense to me personally. But if somebody's listening and they're like, that sounds so difficult, but doable, should we encourage them to just listen deeper to their heart's call, or what should we encourage them to do?
For me at that stage of the journey, I needed allies to walk alongside me. It was confusing to me. I don't think I'd really strengthened the muscle of listening and trusting myself completely. So along the way, I didn't find them. The universe just magically had people appear in my path that I was like, oh, that sounds right for me. So the universe will just respond when you say yes to something. It's just mind blowing. So I actually needed allies to walk alongside me to just kind of, you know, we can't see ourselves without looking in a mirror or having someone else reflect something to us. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, those who had walked the path ahead of me would help me understand what steps to take. That was entirely up to me, my own sovereignty, mm-hmm. yet give me some things to consider and think about as my entire reality was unstructuring and shifting chaotically, I guess. So I think it's really helpful to have allies walk alongside us. But anyone who is trying again to tell you they know exactly how to do it, I would just caution any listeners that only they know what's truly best for them.
I love that advice. I absolutely love it. So the other thing I'm curious about, and I know the answer to this question before I ask it, but I just want to put it on record. So we talk about listening to your heart's call. I'm assuming that's potentially plural, your heart's calls. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're on the never-ending journey. That was a movie, I think. But naively, I believed at one point that, oh, there's the other side and the work is done. But because we're nature, the work is never done. The universe and its brilliance gives us, and that's one important thing to remember, will only give us things that we're strong enough to handle at the time. And so when we think something's happening to us, or we're afraid of doing or trying something, the universe is going to give us what we're capable of handling. Mm. Yeah. It's kind of like if we go back to those micro steps. Is when you take a step toward the gym and decide to lift a 5-pound weight, you know, that might have been your heart's call that day. The next day, a month later, it might say, let's try a 15-pound weight. So the heart is constantly calling us, mm-hmm. not as radically, I'd say, as that pivot to align initially. Mm-hmm. But I have felt along the way, especially when I'm a bit off course, I felt that call come with greater energy behind it than other times.
Yeah.
So it'll come along. It'll come along repeatedly. And I think it gets less scary because once you start answering it and taking those steps and feeling the momentum and feeling that the universe has your back, mm-hmm. it becomes less scary to take those future steps.
Taking steps without fear has to be empowering, and it has to be an important part of this particular journey. So I hope everyone is prepared for this particular journey and they take those steps to, you know, find their identities in this way. But Jasmine, I have one last question for you, if I may. Where can people find you?
Oh, I am not all over social media, first of all. But I can be found at whentheheartcalls.com. It's all smushed together, one word, whentheheartcalls.com.
And at whentheheartcalls.com, Jasmine has her own podcast up there, and it's amazing. And every time I've listened to something so far, it's hit a little bit deeper than I expected. So be prepared to grow, be prepared to learn, but it's so worth it. So check
Thank
out
you, Jay.
The site. So Jasmine, if I may I offer a cheers?
Absolutely.
Here's a cheers to taking those micro steps to grow and to learn and to actually begin finally listening to our heart's call.
Beautiful, beautiful, Jay. And may I add cheers to saying yes to the magical journey of life when the heart calls.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for having me as well, Jay. I've so enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for being here. And thank you to everyone that's tuned in and listened. And this has been Cheers to This.